Joining us now from Salt Lake City is NPR's Howard Berkus, who has visited the region where the new Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument is located. And Howard, first, could you describe for us a bit this part of the country?
It's really an astounding country. It's a combination of a twisted and contorted landscape in the southern part of the state with the steep and narrow red rock canyons. Robert, the rock is so red there, I've seen it actually turn the underbellies of clouds pink just from the reflection of the sun on the rock. The canyon bottoms are lush with green strips of trees and brush along the streams. There are these white sandstone domes on the landscape and broad desert mesas and plateaus. It's as remote and quiet a place as I think exists anywhere in this country.
Not what we automatically think of when we hear the word monument. What qualifies it as a national monument?
Almost nothing that I just described, actually.
No, not at all.
The Antiquities Act allows the president to declare national monuments based on things like historic value, cultural, archaeological, biological, scientific values. And in fact, this area has dinosaur bones, petrified forests, plants that are found nowhere else, centuries of exposed rock to study, artifacts and rock paintings and carvings left by ancient Indian people, and even wagon ruts left by the Mormon pioneers that first came to the area, the first white people to come to the area.
We heard the president talking about the conflict here between preserving this as a national monument and, on the other hand, exploiting the very rich coal deposit that's there. There is an interest there, I gather, in exploiting the coal.
A foreign-owned company, as the president likes to repeatedly point out, claims billions of tons of low-sulfur coal in this area. It wants to mine that coal and ship it to Asia. And part of the problem is that the towns nearest the mine and the monument have the highest unemployment rates in the state, almost four times the unemployment rate here in Salt Lake City. So they'd like the jobs and the money that the mine would generate. And also, as David Malpas pointed out, some of the money that is comes from mining goes to Utah school children, and they could lose out on that money, billions in the estimates of some people here. Today the president did say that he would seek to trade out state land inside the monument, which is designated for schools, for federal land somewhere else. But I have to say, it's hard to imagine that they're going to find land of similar value with such valuable deposits of minerals.
But does this designation of the area as a national monument mean that the mining must stop?
No, it does not stop the mining outright, but the designation may make it difficult enough for the coal company to get the permits it needs to build roads and power lines to the site that they may not continue. Administration sources also say that they're in the process of essentially trying to buy out the coal company, give them some kind of compensation in exchange for abandoning the site. And you may remember that the president did that very thing this past summer outside Yellowstone National Park, stopping a proposed gold mine there.
Can this designation of the area as a national monument, can that be altered? Is it final if the president does it, or could it be reversed?
Well, local officials in Utah say they may sue, but they concede that they're on pretty shaky legal ground there, because presidents have been doing this sort of thing for 90 years. Congress could block funding of the monument, and that would deprive it of a management staff, but Congress cannot take away the monument status. The president has the exclusive right to declare national monuments, and he doesn't need anybody's approval to do it.
Howard, thank you very much. NPR's Howard Berkus speaking to us from Salt Lake City, Utah.